Amen. I was going to make a deal with your pastor. Maybe if I paid the gas, we could get the youth choir and use your bus. And after camp, just head them on down south. Is that all right with everybody? Amen. What a blessing. Amen. Well, God's been good to us. How many of you played, you remember that game, Where's Waldo? In that video, did you try to find the Seatmans? There you go. Oh, there's Anna. Yeah. Fun. It's a big blessing to have had the Seatmans down there with us, and we're thankful that you loaned them to us for a little while, and they were a big blessing and certainly helped. It's hard to get 20 years pushed into 10 minutes, and that's what pastors want, about 10 minutes of a video presentation. So it kind of gives you a little bit of an idea of how God's been blessing. If you got your Bibles, if you would look with me, go with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And 2 Timothy chapter 1. And then once you found your place, if you'll stand out of reverence for God's word. And if we would like to read the first 7 verses here all together and slowly. And then we'll get into the heart of the message. Once you found your place, if you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's read together slowly. Verses 1 through 7, all right, of 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's begin. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I was persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you with thankful hearts, thankful for how good you've been to us. And Lord God, they're more than just words in a song. Father, you've been good to us. You've been merciful to us. You've given us far more than we deserve. And Lord, we just thank you for your grace and your mercy. And we thank you that you continue to work with us, Lord, and continue to guide us and to try to bring us along. And even when we're unfaithful, you remain faithful. And Lord, I just thank you for your goodness that you've shown in my life. And I know that without a doubt, there's many here that would say the same about you. And Lord God, I just pray that you would just give us something from your word in the next couple of minutes that would just would encourage us and help us to keep pressing on for you. Lord, we love you. Just pray that you'll bless your precious word now. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. May be seated. This is the second letter that Paul's writing to Timothy here, and I think, and I could be wrong, but I think what you see here is in the first letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, he's encouraging him in the faith, and he's basically telling him to charge the gates of hell, and he's telling him with a lot of encouragement what he's going to be doing, and watch out for this, and watch out for that. But he's encouraging them. But when you get to the second letter, if you kind of read it in context, it seems like to me that maybe something's happened here, and maybe, possibly, Timothy's gotten a little bit discouraged, and so Paul, being the elderly statesman in the faith, he starts out in verse number 2 saying that he wishes for Paul, wishes for Timothy grace, mercy, and peace. And look at verse number 4. I don't know exactly what happened, but it says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Apparently he's talking to Timothy, and there's some sort of heartache or something's passed. He's talking about the tears, and then later on we get to verse number 5. He's encouraging him with the faith that's unfeigned, that was in his grandmother and that was in his mother. And then he gets to verse number 6, and that's kind of where I'd like to look this evening, or this afternoon. I heard you guys go back and forth this evening, this afternoon. I'm sure I'll do the same thing, amen? But look at verse number 6. It says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands." And then verse number 7, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." In the very first book to Timothy, we see that Timothy's getting ready to set out, and he's going to do what it is that God's called him to do, and he's heading out with a lot of encouragement. He's heading out, and he's ready to do something for Christ, but something's happened here, and so I think that Paul is encouraging him, and he even talks about his tears, and then later on, he talks about you need to stir up the gift of God. In the very last verse, number 7, he talks about God's not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. I mentioned this morning when I was preaching to the Spanish folks, God has given to each one of us, whether you're called to be a preacher or not, God has given to each one of us as His children a task to accomplish. Your job might not necessarily be to be a missionary. It might not necessarily be to be a full-time Christian servant, but all of us are called to do something for the glory of God. Our lives are here to shine and to be used of God to do something to bring glory and honor to our God. It's great that you're here on a Sunday, and you ought to be here on a Sunday, but that's not the end-all be-all, just the fact that you attend church. Amen. God desires to equip us here to go out to this world and to be used to do something for His honor and glory. And it could be that when you first came into the church, you were excited, and you said, "Yes, I want to serve the Lord." But over the years, it's very easy for each one of us sometimes to get cold, and to start to back up, and maybe to be hurt, maybe to have something happen in our life that is unexplainable to us, and we start to stand back a little bit from God, and we start to stand back from the work of God, and we start to get just a little bit colder in our walk with the Lord. And I think the same advice that Paul's given to Timothy here is the same advice that he could give to us this afternoon. Verse number 6, he says, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God." You know, it's a blessing to be put into remembrance of some things. It's a blessing for us to be able to go over and see how good God's been to us and to see what goodness God has shown to us. And that remembrance that we have of how good God's been to us keeps us pressing forward. It keeps us in the fight. It keeps us going on when things are not going our way, when things are rough, when things are hard. What keeps us going on? Looking back and remembering how good God's been to us. If you've been saved by the grace of God, God's been good to you. Amen? And you and I ought to acknowledge that every day, and we ought to be ready at all times to praise the Lord for what He's done. I'd like to look at just a few things that will help us to keep pressing on, things that will help us to stay in the fight. Amen? The first thing that's going to help you to stay in the fight is remembering that we have a glorious message. Amen? Hey, the gospel that's preached from this pulpit is the message that men and women need. Boys and girls need. Teenagers need. It's the one thing that can change a life and can change a destiny. If you would go with me over to 1 Timothy, we're real close. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse number 11. Find out what kind of gospel are we preaching? What kind of gospel, when you knock on doors and you're sharing with them, what kind of gospel is it? 1 Timothy chapter 1, look at verse number 12, or verse number 11. What does it say there? According to the glorious. What kind of gospel? Glorious. Glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Amen. You know what? That's not just for Paul that was committed to his trust. That's for us. You have been entrusted, if you're saved by the grace of God, with the message, the glorious message of salvation. Amen. But you know what? With that also comes a responsibility. Ah, we just want the side that's a blessing to us. Oh, yes, I want to be saved. I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell someday. But with that blessing of the glorious gospel comes the message or comes the burden to take that message out to a lost and dying world. But praise the Lord that the message that we preach and the message that we believe and that we share from door to door, that same message is the message of hope and love and peace and pardon. I'm thankful that our God does not call us to strap a bomb to ourselves and to go look for a market where there's a lot of people and to explode ourselves to glorify our God in some form. Our message is a message of hope. Because why? Because it's a message of Him. Not so much that you're going out and preaching the Baptist church. You need to be a Baptist. No. It's a lot higher than that. You need to be a child of God. Amen. Our hope is in Him. That's where our salvation comes from. And what a blessing it is. That's the message that you and I have. It's a glorious message. Do you understand that God still transforms lives with that message? Ah, Brother Brian, I've heard this all my life. I know. I could repeat to you the Romans road. I know exactly how everything goes. I know the verses. I got them memorized. Wonderful. But do you understand it's glorious? Do you understand it can change lives? There's two girls that we had. You guys are going to have Vacation Bible School, or you just had it? In a couple weeks, Vacation Bible School. And it could very well be that you say, well, another time, I guess it's time for Vacation Bible School again. Can I tell you what? That God can transform lives? Yeah, amen. Amen? Next week, or tomorrow, actually, head off to camp. Right? Mm-hmm. Amen? Yes. You realize that's not just 4 or 5 days you can get rid of your kids? Do you understand that God wants to use those days? Yeah, amen. Amen? I was saved in a youth camp. Amen? Hey, many times we can just go through the process, but we need to understand that that's something that God can use to change lives, that message that we have. I was mentioning about Vacation Bible School. We go out and into the hills, and the Seatmans probably could recognize all those photos, all the places that they've gone knocking on doors as well. And we go out into a place called La Toma, which is right there beside the church, and it's one of the poorest places in Zacatecas. And we go there and we knock on doors and we get people. And thankfully, we've been able to get a big group of young people that come. And they came to Vacation Bible School and people got excited. And of course, at Vacation Bible School, you may have 100, 150 kids, just depending on what Vacation Bible School, from outside. And then some people say, well, that's just a waste of time. A waste of time because maybe they just came for candy. Maybe they came for pizza. Maybe they came for this. Like, I tell you what, every soul is worth it. We've got two young ladies, Zulema, and what's the other little girl's name? You know what? Yamalet. Very, very odd names, amen? Even in Mexico, they're odd, amen? But can I tell you what? What a precious joy it is that they came to Vacation Bible School and they continue to come back. Amen? Amen. And I'm just going to be real honest. They come to church very dirty because of where they live and the situation they live in. But they try to get cleaned up as well as possible. And the other day, we were able to give them some dresses and they were just so excited. And I think maybe my wife and Sister Karina took them upstairs into a room and they changed into a dress and they came down and their faces were still a little bit dirty with dirt from La Toma. But they came down just shining because they had made a decision for Christ and they were trying to be faithful. And in the colonia where they grow up, there's nothing but drugs, there's nothing but immorality, there's nothing but heartache for those folks. But can I tell you what? Those girls have been faithful. And they come back every week, and we had the greatest joy. I think it was the week before we left, we memorized verses in the church. And these little girls stood up, one by one, individually, there in the church, and tried to quote, and they did. They quoted it correctly. the verses that we were memorizing. Is that due to the Bryans? Absolutely not. Their lives are being changed. Is that due to our church? Absolutely not. That's the power of the gospel. That's the power that can change lives. And that's the power that you and I have within our beings. It's what God's called us to be faithful at getting out. And many times we can become, get in a routine and we stop realizing that the message that you and I carry with us is a precious message. But can I tell you what? To stir up the faith, you need to remember that we have a glorious message. Well, look at the second thing. Not only do we have a glorious message, but we do not strive alone. Amen? We're not alone. Go with me over to Deuteronomy chapter 31, if you would. Over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. I want to show you a verse here. Two verses, one you're familiar with. Deuteronomy chapter 31. And Moses is getting ready to go off the scene, and he's trying to encourage the people of God to go forward, and that there's going to be enemies, and there's going to be heartache, and there's going to be difficulties, but the blessing is that God goes with them. Look at verse number 5. It says, "And the Lord shall give them up before your face," speaking about the enemies, "shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according unto all the commandments that I commanded you." Look at verse number 6. "Be strong," speaking to God's people, "be strong and be of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee." You understand that if you've been saved by the grace of God, you don't walk alone. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells within you. Now, there's things that we can do to grieve His Spirit. If we decide to spend our days flipping through a phone, we spend hours and hours flipping through videos, and we use our lives to be full of the things of this world, and we can definitely grieve the Holy Spirit of God. But can I tell you what? You have the Spirit of God if you're saved by His grace, and He gives you that Spirit so that you can go out and reach people with the gospel. Amen? There are a lot of churches that are confused about what the Holy Spirit of God is about. They think it's so that you can run around and dance, so you can run around and fall out in the Spirit and roll around on the floor. Hey, that's not what the Bible says over there in Acts. What is the Holy Spirit given to us? That we might be what? Witnesses. Amen. So when you go and you try to talk to someone about Christ and you get nervous, can I tell you what? You have the Holy Spirit of God that He will help you because you're not alone. Jesus didn't leave this earth and say, "Well, good luck. Hope everything goes well. We'll see you someday in heaven." No, no, no. He said, "I'll send you a comforter." He said, "If I don't go, the comforter can't come." All right? And so He sent us the Holy Spirit of God so that why? So that we could carry out what it is that He's called us to do. We're not alone. Amen. He's beside us all the way. You know that life is full of struggles all the time. Struggles are not necessarily bad. We don't like them. Amen. We're not looking for them. How many of you heard this term, helicopter mom? How many are a helicopter mom? Okay. You are one or you've heard it? You're a little bit of one, right? Okay. Nobody's heard. Who's not heard of that term? Who's not heard of it? Everybody's heard it. All right. Hey, this life is full of struggles. And sometimes I find with my son, it's good to let him struggle a little bit. Amen? Because why? Because through those struggles, he learns to grow. And can I tell you what? God sometimes places us through certain things in our life because He wants us to grow. He puts heartache, He puts some burdens upon us because He wants us to grow in the faith, because He knows that when we go through that stuff and we're passing through those trials, that we will look up to Him and get closer to Him. There's a purpose for that. But the blessing is to know that we're not alone. You saw in the video talking about how dangerous it is in our area of Mexico. Amen? The Seatmans know firsthand They have some, I've got our stories. I'm not going to share our stories. I'm going to share one of their stories. Tell me if I'm incorrect. All right? So Brother Roy is headed home after picking up people from church. It's after church, so he's got some people in his van that he's going to take home after church service. He has his van route. Amen? He's the captain of his van. But Miss Melanie lets him be. Amen? And so he came up, I think it's actually in that picture, the actual stop where you were at. So he comes up, and I think maybe two cars in front of you. There were two cars stopped in front of him. And as they're sitting there at the light, and he maybe have already told you this story. Is he sitting there at the light? You have not shared this story? Okay. He's sitting there at the light, and then if I'm incorrect, you can correct it. But a car comes out and comes out. How was it, brother? Tell me.
It was passed on our left in front
of us. Okay. And so, tell the story. The whole story.
A car is rolling through, not moving very fast. Another car passes it, fell with an AK-47 out the window, shooting. And then the car just rolls into the side of the road.
And so the car just rolls into the side of the road. He's returning from church, doing the bus route. And then two cars in front of him, a car just rolls to a stop because some men came out and shot up the car and shot up the occupant there. You know? I'm sure, was your wife with you? Well, the Lord has his purposes, amen. Hey, dangerous in Mexico? Yeah. But can I tell you what? God's with us. He's not just with us, he's with you. But sometimes we don't see his hand because we don't step out by faith. Sometimes we don't see his hand because we like comfort. There's nothing wrong with comfort. I love AC. Amen. I love padded seats. Amen. There's not a thing in the world wrong with that. But if we allow comfort to keep us where we're at, and we don't strive to do something for God, and we don't step out by faith and try to do something for God, can I tell you what? The devil is pleased. Amen? You say, are you saying I need to be a missionary? Not necessarily. I just say, obey the Holy Spirit of God, what he tells you to do. It could very well be that he's telling you to talk to your pastor and say, how can I serve in the church? Amen. Now the devil will say, well, somebody already does that, and somebody's got this job, and someone mows, and someone cleans, and someone does this. I just about imagine if you were to talk to Pastor Russo, I imagine that you would have something, a way to serve in the church. But many times we're waiting for other people to do it when God wants to use us, and God wants to use our lives for his honor and glory. Look at another reason that we ought to stir up the gift of God in our life. Number three, because the blessings of God abound. We are blessed. Amen. We are blessed. God's been so good. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse number 8, if you would, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8. Second Corinthians, thank you. You saved me. 2 Corinthians 9, 8. Thank you, my brother. It says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty, I'm got the... Verse 9? Verse 8, okay, thank you. I speak not by commandment. Oh, 9, 8, here we go. That's good for me. Keep you humble, amen. Okay, chapter 9, verse number 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. There it's talking about the blessings of God, how you and I ought to be searching for the blessings of God. God's been so good to us, all you got to do is just look around and see his blessings. I mean, it's everywhere. It's on all sides. You know, they're talking about how people are searching for something, and people are constantly, you know, why we have so much problems with drugs and why we have problems with alcohol and why we have problems with these things. It's because many people are searching for something in their life. And what we have is the gospel. What we have is the Lord Jesus Christ, and He desires for us to be used of Him. The resources are what the source of blessing comes from, the Lord. And there's no way to get around it. Many of us are blessed in a number of ways, but many times what we do is we are focused on the things that do not matter, or we're focused on the things that we don't have, and we start to complain and we start to look back. How about the Israelites? They got liberated from Egypt. I mean, gloriously liberated from Egypt. And although they saw the hand of God, although they were no longer in slavery, although they were no longer under that bondage, they were out there and they were free and they saw God's mighty miracles, but they began to do what? Complain. How many of us have been liberated from sin by Christ? The penalty of sin. How many of us have been saved by God's wonderful grace, but we tend to complain? There's a verse that talks about the provocation, talking about when the Israelites came out because they were provoking God. Can you imagine provoking God? I mean, they were liberated, right? God showed His hand mightily and they were liberated, and then they turned around and they complained about it. It could very well be that you and I, sometimes we complain about little things when really, if we remember how blessed we really are, we will be stirred up to do more for the Lord. But it requires obedience on our part. We need to be obedient at the end of the day. You can say, well, I know that verse. Wonderful. I've heard the pastor preach that message or something like that before. Wonderful. Well, I know all those things. Wonderful. But where the rubber meets the road is in obedience. Amen? Amen. In obedience. One of the dangers of having many years in a Bible-believing church is that we know all the answers, but we don't do what we ought to do. Amen. And God desires to bless us, and many times He's just waiting to bless us, but He's waiting for us to do what's right and to walk in His way. And look at another reason that we ought to be stirred up in the things of God, because the pardon of God is abundant. Amen. How many of you in this last week have depended upon the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Amen. If not, you probably not confess your sins. Amen. You say, well, I'm doing pretty good. No, I don't think we are. Amen. You might think it, but I don't think we are. If you would, go with me over to Micah. I love it. Micah chapter 7, talking about the mercy of God. No doubt you probably have it memorized. Micah chapter 7, look at verse, give me a chance to turn there. I got my little ribbon there, so I kind of cheated. It's the only place I put my ribbon, because that's a hard one for me to find. Amen. Look at chapter 7, verse number 18. Who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of His heritage? He retaineth not His anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. We can stop right there and not even get to the next verse. Our God delights in mercy. Amen. I'm thankful for that personally. I'm personally thankful that our God delights in mercy, because every day I need His mercy. Look at one more verse, verse number 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. That's our God that delights in mercy. We have forgiveness of God. You know what that means? That means you can go on. It doesn't mean we stay in our sin. Amen? You got to confess it. You got to get it right with God. I'm not saying, oh, just continue the way you are and just keep going and 1 foot in the world and 1 foot serving God. No. Get right. Amen. Confess your sins. Forsake your sins. Get over here and say, Lord, help me to walk right with you. But can I tell you what? When you do that, you have a God who delights in mercy. Amen. But you know what that does? It takes away our excuse. Because the devil wants to say, well, but remember what you did over here? Remember how you used to act? Remember those sins? Remember this and remember that? Can I tell you what? You ought to get over here and say, Lord, it's under the blood. Amen. Because we have a God that delights in mercy. Hey, we ought to get back in the fight. Amen. Can I tell you what? There's not a one here that is perfect. There's not a one here that lives up to the standard that God has placed for us. And that's why it requires mercy from God. And I'm thankful for His mercy that God's been so good to me. But it's by the blood of the Lamb. Look at one other thing. How many of you heard the message, or at least the title, by R.G. Lee, Payday Someday? Amen? Now that's talking about payday someday for those that reject God, for the perversity of rejecting God and rejecting the things of God, that there is a payday coming for those who don't want anything to do with God. But can I tell you the opposite is also true? For those that do right, God has a payday for you. Those that are just stay faithful, God has a payday for you. Those that just stay by the stuff, God has a blessed payday for you. The last reason or something that will help us to stay right with the Lord and help us to keep pressing on is that there's a heavenly payday. There's a heavenly payday. One last verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Look with me. I'm going to back up a little bit to 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Verse number 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. What a blessing. There's a payday coming. Oh, well, here, nobody gives me applause. Nobody even knows what I'm doing. When I reach down and I pick up a piece of paper in the church and nobody's around to see me. Hey, can I tell you what? God's taking note. I hope you're not serving so that somebody can see you, amen? I hope you're not serving just so that somebody can pat you on the back. Can I tell you what? God takes note. When you get up and you're faithful reading God's holy word, when the rest of the family's asleep and you spend that time with God, can I tell you what? God takes note. When you're faithful and you do the things that are right, can I tell you what? Your character is determined what you do when nobody else is looking. It's very easy to be a good Christian in front of other people. Amen? Is that true or not? I mean, when other people are looking at you, it's easy. But you know when it requires character? When you're by yourself. When nobody knows, when your wife doesn't know, or your husband doesn't know, or your parents don't know. That's when true character is displayed. You look through the scripture and you find men and women of God who served God and were faithful. You know why that was? It's because they had a heavenly vision. They were looking ahead. They weren't looking at their circumstances. They weren't looking at what's happening around them, because that's a chaotic world that we're living in. Amen? But they had a heavenly vision for something, I'm thinking in Spanish, más allá del sol, something a little farther out there. Amen? Just something a little bit higher. They were looking into glory. They had a heavenly vision. What a blessing it is to keep our focus on that. When the work is hard, you need to refocus your vision. When there's no praise, you need to refocus your vision. Young people at school, wherever you go, whether it's a Christian school or a secular school, when people begin to mock you for doing right, you need to refocus your vision. Amen? When the road is long, You need to refocus your vision. When it's difficult, you need to refocus. When you're walking alone, and it very well could be that you're walking alone in your faith, or someday you will be walking alone in your faith, refocus your vision. And understand that what it says there is talking about our heavenly reward, not talking about earning your salvation. You can't earn your salvation, amen? It's all of grace. But it is talking about the fact that God has something prepared for those that are saved. It says, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And I tell you what, it's going to be a blessing someday for us to get there in the presence of God and to see the reward for our faithfulness. It could very well be that if you decide to live your life a little bit loosely, and you decide, well, I'm going to go to church, and I've got my Bible, and I can play the part at church, and I can smile when it's time to smile, and I can say amen when it's time to say amen, and I know the right people to shake hands, and I can play the part well, but when I'm at home, or when I'm in school, or when I'm at work, or when I'm with my family, I just keep my Christianity on the back burner, and I just live according to my flesh, and I do the thing. Can I tell you what? It may be that arriving at heaven not be such a blessed time because you're going to be ashamed. I think we're all going to be ashamed. Even the most faithful among us are going to be ashamed of what we could have done for Christ and we didn't do it. And can I tell you what? The Holy Spirit of God will speak to us. What a blessing it is when He speaks to us. I tell you, the most dangerous place to be is to get to the point where you can no longer hear God's Spirit. You still have God's Spirit, amen? He dwell with you forever. But we can be so calloused and so cold-hearted that when God begins to speak and He begins to show us things, we begin to top up our ears, and we begin to get to the point where we don't want to hear it. Can I tell you what? That's a dangerous spot. You ought to thank the Lord. Even if He convicts you, you ought to thank the Lord when He speaks to you. Paul was trying to encourage Timothy. He says, you know what? Hey, now you're going through the heartaches. Now you're going through the difficulties. Now you know that everything's not rainbows and butterflies, amen? You know that everything's just not perfect, but can I tell you what? He says you need to endure as a good soldier. So he's preparing them for the next level. Can I tell you what? Many of you maybe started out and you say, well, I want to serve God, but you found that there's difficulties and heartaches and things that are in the way. Can I tell you what? Stay faithful. Keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward knowing that someday there is a payday. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that we do not fight alone, that the Lord is by our side. Let's all stand if you would. Bow your head and close your eyes. No one looking if you would. Maybe the pianist can come. Who would say, the Lord spoke to me, showed me something? Maybe it was something that we didn't even mention, but you say, God spoke to my heart. The Holy Spirit showed me something, and I just want to be honest. God spoke to you. Would you just slip your hand up real quick? God showed me something. Amen. A number of hands. When the music begins, why not slip out to an old-fashioned altar, kneel down, and just say, Lord, help me. I want to stay faithful to the end. I want to keep pressing forward because we have such a glorious message. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you just slip out and come to an old-fashioned altar? Kneel down. Do business with the Lord. Whatever He laid on your heart. Maybe it was something that wasn't even mentioned. But you say, God spoke to me. He showed me something. I have a time of invitation.